This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
All federal employees must once again show up to work. It's a new phenomenon, you know, since COVID. Show up to work in person like the rest of us. So, I mean, it doesn't work when you don't show up. And I see companies now are all going back to it. They're all going back. It's great. I watch some of the big business leaders saying we absolutely are going back. You can't work at home. They're not working. They're playing tennis. They're playing golf. Or they have other jobs. But they're not working, or they're certainly not working hard. You could never build a company or a country with that. So we have a very strong policy, and if they don't show up to work, they get fired.
There you have it. So President Trump speaking this weekend, I believe he was speaking to CPAC when he made these comments. And, you know, Elon Musk got in a little bit of trouble for suggesting if you're a government employee and you don't send us an email telling us what you accomplished the past week, you may be out of there. All the legal experts chimed in over the weekend. He can't do that. He doesn't have the legal authority. He couldn't fire somebody just because they didn't respond to an email. And the point is, and I think Elon's point is, this was sort of a trick. Because his suspicion is that a large number of these people that are working remotely for the government don't check their emails regularly. So I guess you'd know that if you ended up getting an email from your supervisor saying, by the way, Charles, we haven't heard from you, so you're fired. And I don't think that's going to happen. And a lot of them have made it clear that it would go through their regular chain of command. But it'll be interesting to see how many of them actually come through and respond. We might all be in trouble, Carl. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
If we had to provide an email to our boss by the end of the day, tell him what we accomplished last week. Showed up for work.
sure I did.
Provided 20 hours of broadcast excellence. How about that? That's what we did.
Audio evidence that you were here.
Thank you. You can never lie to your spouse about whether you're going to work or not, right? Because they just have to turn the radio on and you're either there or you're not. But clearly some people in the federal government can hide a little bit better than that. I thought that was pretty good. Musk has not backed off of that, but I don't think that's going to be anything that people take too seriously. Guess who else is trying to get back in the good graces of one Donald J. Trump? Mark Cuban. Remember this joker during the election? He was all in for Kamala Harris. He wanted Kamala Harris this, Kamala Harris that. Go to cut four, Carl.
Parties are dead. You know, we don't think, you know, hey, I'm a Democrat, let me, da, 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 or hey, I'm a Republican. You know, you've seen registrations on Republicans increase some, and you know, because Donald Trump is a great salesperson. He really is. He's a great marketer. I put him up there, Donald Trump, then Paris Hilton, then Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, wanting to argue that political parties are dead. I don't think, Mark Cuban, because your chosen candidate got her butt kicked in the last election, that that's some evidence that the parties are dead. I would argue that the Republican Party right now is more vibrant than it's been in a long time. And one reason is because of Donald Trump and the impact he's had on it, conservative voices are being listened to. It's not clear cut that we'll get everything we'd like, but I do think the party is far more vibrant than the Democrat Party, where only one voice matters. The liberal progressives run that party. Look who they elected to run the DNC. The assistant chair is David Hogg, for God's sake. How old is the kid now? 25 or 26 now? I respect all you 25 and 26-year-olds out there. This guy's entire existence revolves around gun grabbing. That's all he cares about. It's all he talks about. It's all he goes and does public speeches about. He hates you if you own a gun. And they put him in charge of the DNC. That tells you all you need to know. So from Mark Cuban's point of view, I would argue the Democratic Party may be almost dead. There's no Joy anymore. Joy Reid got fired yesterday, which is a fantastic bit of news. Maybe they ask her to what she had accomplished the past week. I don't know how that conversation went down. Donald Trump savaged her on Truth Social yesterday, talking about the low ratings, said he didn't understand how she or Alex Marlowe or Al Sharpton remained on the air, and that Comcast, I think is what he referred to, the CEO there of Comcast, is a complete disaster. So, after that, I'm thinking to myself, whew, they got a real mess on their hands. Nobody's watching, and the people like Joy Reid, who bring no joy to the world, for sure, are no longer on the air over there. That was an interesting development over the weekend. We're also watching to see what the House is going to do on budget issues, and our friend Ryan Schmelz of Fox News Radio is on the phone this morning. Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing good, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Heard you on the Annie Fry show the other day.
Yes, I become a regular guest there. I think I'll be on there possibly today as well.
Oh, awesome. Well, good. Glad to hear that. That's fantastic. I interviewed Congressman Bost from Illinois on Friday, talking a little bit about this budget thing. He said that the House is going to do something very different than what the Senate sent them in terms of this budget.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is going to be very different. You know, there's some similarities. Let's keep that in mind. You know, the House version still has the $300 billion in there for border security and national security to help the president kind of achieve his goals there. It also includes some energy policy. But I think the big difference is that the House version is going to pursue the tax law. They're going to have over $4 trillion in spending cuts, or I'm sorry, in tax cuts, then $1.5 trillion in spending cuts as a floor with the goal of hitting $2 trillion. And obviously that makes the bill a lot more ambitious. But this is the one that Donald Trump prefers But the question is, can the House get enough people on board to get this passed? Because they can really only afford to lose upwards of two or so members, or this bill gets sunk.
Wow. Yeah, here we go again, huh? Right right up against it, because there's no way that Chip Roy and I'm trying to think of the name of a couple of the others, Thomas Massie and others, are going to be satisfied with anything less than a reduction in the size of government.
Yeah, I think that's where it's going to be a problem. Now, Chip Roy put a pretty interesting post out yesterday, not saying that he's going to be a no on this. You know, Chip Roy was heavily involved in crafting this legislation because he's on the House Budget Committee. And a lot of conservative members put a provision in there, actually, that says if we don't hit our $2 trillion goal when it comes to spending cuts, then you have to go in there and take provisions out of the tax cuts in order to offset the difference. So that's something that folks like Roy and some other members had been pushing for a long time. Not quite sure if Roy specifically was involved in that one, but I think that there are a lot of conservative members who said that, hey, look, tax cuts are great, but if we're not hitting our goal when it comes to spending, we're going to have to take away some of our goodies and use that to pay for what our goals are.
Yeah, that's true. We're talking to Ryan Schmelz from Fox News Radio. Let's go to the great state of Kentucky. You used to work in Lexington, didn't you?
I did, yes. I was a weekend anchor there for about a year and a half.
Yeah, so who would have imagined the day Mitch McConnell would not announce he was running for re-election?
Yeah, I think this was something we had always been preparing for. Obviously, when you hit 80, these things become a lot more of a possibility. Now that it's here, I think it's a little surreal that an era is coming to an end. I think the fact that he's not in leadership anymore kind of made you a little more ready for when the announcement was going to come. But it's still there, and it's kind of one of those feelings like, wow, this has been the face of Senate Republicans for such a long time, and now we're talking about who his replacement's going to be.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a whole nother race where I think things could get a little ugly at some point, and honestly, they already have gotten ugly. So here we go.
I don't remember the names of all the players down there, but I know that I believe the lady that ran against him last time has already jumped into the race again. And the guy that was the lieutenant governor, I think, of Kentucky and ran for governor unsuccessfully is also thrown his name in the race.
He was the attorney general.
Attorney general.
Daniel Cameron.
Yeah.
He was actually at the White House last week for a Black History Month event, believe it or not. And he was endorsed by Trump in that primary for the gubernatorial race. He had an unsuccessful campaign. And what's fascinating is that you have this congressman by the name of Andy Barr, who is considering run himself. He is already weaponizing Daniel Cameron's defeat in the gubernatorial race against him.
Oh, wow.
You're pretty much saying, hey, this makes us question your electability and whether or not you can get the job done if, in fact, you are the person who wins the primary. So it's gotten a little bit ugly already. And Cameron's team actually hit back saying, well, maybe Andy had a little bit too much to drink at his 100th lobbyist dinner the other night.
Oh, so nice.
This is getting interesting already.
I love it. Ryan Schmelz, thanks for your time this morning, my friend.
Hey, sounds good, Mark. Thank you so much, as always.
Yep, take care. Good to get him on here this morning. That's pretty funny. My comment about the state of Kentucky is this Bashir guy down there, for whatever reason, he's the governor. His dad was governor years ago. I guess it was after I lived down there, but the name is just known all over the state of Kentucky. So on name recognition alone, his son basically won the governorship and for some reason has endeared himself to people, despite the fact the state almost always votes red for presidential elections. They have reelected this Democrat to governor a couple of times now, and Daniel Cameron ran against him and lost. And now he's running for Senate. So we'll see. We'll see what happens down there in the great state of Kentucky.
Get more at 971talk.com.